Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Today, I am so glad you're here. Today is a great day. Yesterday may have felt gloomy. Yesterday could have possibly been a down day for you. But today, I can promise you, today things are becoming beautiful. I know that positively. And we're going to share with you some inside tips, if you will, on how to really have a beautiful life. Some of you, that's going to really seem like an odd concept to you. And for others of you, you're just going to be like, oh, I've needed to hear that for so long. I totally believe that. And I hope that either side of the fence, we can really inspire you and show you how to thrive, because Kathy and I love helping you thrive. We love bringing to you wonderful, diverse, amazing guests that have the ability to share with you how you can be a better person, you can live a better life, and how you can have a better family. It all starts at the core of us. How do we be the best version of ourselves? And how do we move from the things in our past that weren't so great into the things that will be our great future? I love it. I heard Tony Robbins just the other night, if you're listening live, Tony was talking the other night on his very first Facebook Live. If you're listening 5 years from now, it's probably, you know, his millionth, but it happened to be his very first time. And he was sharing the fact that when we really live deep inside of our passion, when we allow ourselves to really truly thrive, that we can't also at the same time worry, struggle, have strife, those kind of things. I really appreciated you saying those things last night, Tony. And it's a couple of days ago if you're listening to this. But when I'm recording it, it was last night for me. And it just really helped me get back perspective over the fact that that's what we really need to do.
Do you know in your life that all things are beautiful? Now, there are times in our lives when it doesn't feel that way. I understand that completely. We've all been there. But I want you to know that all things do become beautiful. And to help us really understand that today, I'm so glad to be joined by Almitra Hernandez-Murdoch. And her book is actually entitled All Things Become Beautiful, a wonderful inspirational devotional journal to help you bring the things in your life to beautiful. Almitra, thanks for joining us here today.
I am so glad to be with you on this in on this radio line today, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So your book, obviously you've been through some things to understand that in the end, all things do become beautiful. Can you tell me a little bit, you know, what really inspired that for you?
Wow. Well, you know, through my teen years, I went through a lot of things, gangs, violence, just a lot of different issues. And my life was so much headed in the wrong direction. And it's just amazing how those things that you were once involved in that seem to be going in the wrong direction actually brought lessons of experience, gave wisdom, insight, knowledge. You learn from them. And when you learn from them, you're also able to help others. You have that influence. You have that insight. You have that power to be able to understand what others are going through. And you also have something to be able to encourage them to get through what they're going through. So I come to understand through the things that I suffer that things are working together. They're transforming, and they're not always going to be the way that they look.
That's really good insight and really something that we all need reminders of in our lives. You know, there are those times when we're just up on the top of the mountain. Life is great. We're just so happy. And then there are those other times when it's like, I'm not sure how life's feeling right now. So what would be the number one thing you would say to somebody when you encounter them and they're obviously in one of those deep valleys in their life?
Wow. You know, I would say that that is a temporary place. I would say that there are possibilities that things are going to change, that God can transform their situation into becoming beautiful. Beauty for ashes, you know, it's just so awesome how a bad situation, you know, someone can go through a time of losing a loved one and feel so alone, feel so hurt, feel so bitter or, you know, from their experience. But yet that experience will help them to help other people. To be able to encourage other people to now have that compassion to make a difference in someone else's life. It's like, you know, someone that may have suffered or had a loved one suffer from cancer, then they may have that impact and that passion to be able to help with cancer patients, you know. So it all works together for our good.
It's a great Bible verse, all things work together for our good, but we need to understand that they really, truly are there. They didn't get forced on us, but the decisions that we've made have put us in a certain spot. But we have the ability to rise out from those ashes. And let's be honest, most of the time, the situations that we get into in our lives have as much to do with our decisions as they do anything else in life.
You know? Yes.
You know, in fact, talk about that for just a second. You know, I mean, often, I know you've encountered this in your ministry as well, too. Often, the easy person to blame in our lives is God. But what do you say to that person when they're really stuck in the midst of that, why could God let this happen to me syndrome?
I would say, you know, look at it totally different. Look at it from a different standpoint. Look at it, find something in it positive, you know. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. Maybe God is trying to show us something. And then we have to look at it, did we get ourselves in this? Or what, you know, what is, maybe there's some things that we need to do. We need to surrender to God. We need to give over to God. Or, you know, there's some things that we need to give up, some relationships that maybe we did and God didn't put it together, you know. So those are things that we have to go a little deeper and look into and begin to evaluate, is this something we done or is God trying to tell us something in the midst of our situation?
You know, it's so easy to play that blame game, and I got to apologize to everybody in advance. You know, I mean, you get two pastors together, we could just go on for hours, just bouncing back and forth, being all excited about scripture and stuff. But I do remember a conversation I had with a lady one time, and she was mad. I mean, just mad at God because, and her words, she said, the thing my mom had always prayed for, she was a devout Christian, and she had her whole life prayed that none of us children would ever be killed in an accident, and then God let it happen, you know. And I had to stop her, and you know, and sometimes people are ready to receive, sometimes they aren't. But I had to stop her, and I had to say, you know, wait a minute, your sister got killed by a drunk driver. God didn't make that person drive drunk. God gave them the same amount of free will to go out and do stupid stuff, you know, drive drunk, whatever, as he gives us the free will to do all the stupid things that we do in our lives, up to and including being angry with God because of the fact that he made this thing happen. And when we really embrace that whole concept of, you know, hey, it's often other people's free will that has brought these things in our life. It's not that God is sitting up there in heaven going, I think I want to pick on, you know, Steve today.
right, exactly. And, you know, a lot of things we have to recognize that, you know, God has a will. He has a perfect will. And if we choose the permissive will, if we choose to do it our way, you know, we're going to find ourselves in situations that we got ourselves into. And again, it's going to go back to, you know, that God is still calling us. And, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, shall pray, you know, that healing of the land is going to come when we go back to the original plan and the will of God for our life.
Perfect, perfect verse for where we are. And there's going to be people that are going to be hearing this years from now, so maybe they won't remember, you know, mid-July of 2016. But where we are right now as a country, that verse, that's the verse we need to embrace. Because if all of us will humble ourselves and pray, then God can heal our land. But, you know, if we're just going to keep doing it our way, we're going to keep reaping the rewards of the crazy that we're doing. And it's so cool because I was saying that one night, a couple of nights ago to my wife, Kathy, and then that evening later on, T.D. Jakes actually was on doing a Facebook Live, and he used the same verse, and it just keeps coming up over and over again. You know, to go back to what you said earlier about maybe God's trying to tell you something, if you've heard that verse more than once in the last couple of weeks, maybe God is trying to tell you something.
Yes. He wants our attention, you know. He uses things to get our attention. And, you know, just like Job, you know, the enemy came to Job and there were some things that were done, but God put up that hedge, you know, he put up that hedge around Job, but yet there were some things that Job had to go through. There's some things that we have to go through. The children of Israel in the wilderness wandering, you know, God was there. God, he did miracles for them, and yet they still didn't catch it. They still didn't have the mindset. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Sometimes we're not seeing what God is saying, but he loves us that much that he will keep trying to get us to that place where he can get our attention. Things will happen for him to get our attention, that we will finally come to the place to throw up our hand and allow God to have recourse in our life. And then we can see the transforming power move in our life, that afflictions, darkness, opposition, disappointments, we can see how God can transform those things into making them become beautiful. And then we can say that all things are beautiful.
I encourage you, absolutely. All things become beautiful. It's an amazing inspirational devotional journal. Almeter Murdoch is the author. You can get it at Amazon. It is available for those of you listening live right now on Amazon.com. So please run out and get it. All Things Become Beautiful by Almeter Murdoch. Almeter, thanks so much for taking some time. I wish we could just go on for hours and hours bouncing back and forth. But that's what heaven's all about, right?
Yes. And it sure is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
I hope after hearing that, everything feels just a little bit more possible, that you can have a little bit more of a bounce in your step, and that you really can see just how wonderfully special you are to God and how possible all things are. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I hope in the first segment we were able to inspire you just how possible things are in life. And then now you have just a little bit more bounce in your step, a little bit more of a realization that all things are becoming beautiful. And now we want to hopefully take some of you that have been listening for a while and been thinking, you know, I wish I had a business. Here's a great opportunity for you to not only really do something that could be fun for you, but that could be something that you could do with your whole family.
Most all of us, the high school we went to, the colleges we went to, those kind of things, we have a real affinity to them. You know, we call that school spirit for a reason. And most people, whether they are still currently at that school or just are an alumni of that school, have a special place in their heart for that school. And I'm so fortunate today to be joined by my good friend Matt Miller from School Spirit Vending. He's going to talk to us today not just about how amazing they help schools, but how your family could have their own home-based business. So join me in welcoming Matt Miller. How are you today, Matt?
I'm doing awesome, Steve. Thanks for having me on, man.
Good yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's good to have you back. So catch us up just a little bit. School Spirit Vending does what?
We specialize in hassle-free year-round fundraising for schools. Essentially, we teach families how to develop passive income streams using our business franchise model. And then, of course, in the process, those families are able to help benefit their local schools with our program as well.
That's awesome. And how many families do you have that are working with you now?
We've got about 65, I believe, currently around the country.
Do any of those families have more than one school, or is that equate to 65 schools?
Oh, no, we've got several thousand schools. Every franchisee has their own territory that they work. And we've got folks that have anything from one school to several hundred and kind of everywhere in between.
Do most of them start with, you know, the homeschool that their kids go to? Not homeschooling, but the local school that their kids go to?
You know, Steve, it kind of depends on where their territory is. And, you know, that's a natural place to start, but in many cases, that's not necessarily where folks have had their success. You know, we found with our program that educators either get it or they don't. If they don't, it doesn't matter what relationship you've got or whatever. But if they do, it doesn't matter what relationship you've got. So I give you a great example. When I got started in the north side of Houston, it was years before we got any schools in my local area, even though there were schools, you know, within, you know, 2 miles of my house. It was just the nature of the beast. The district had some restrictions that most others don't have, and I didn't have any relationships within the district. So it took a while for us to finally break through to that district. So it really kind of depends on the situation and where folks are and that type of thing.
So for folks that didn't hear last time you were on the show, explain in brief what how the vending works for an individual school.
Well, we do custom stickers for the school with their mascot and their logo and all that. We place a machine in the school at no cost to them. And we do all the work. We do all the servicing. We handle all the product rotation. We do all those things. And then we just cut the school a check every month. The two things that schools have a real lack for in today's day and age is funds and volunteers. And we kind of fill in the gap in both those places.
Nice. What does the average school make as far as a monthly income?
You know, it's across the board. You know, we've got some schools that, you know, might see, I don't know, $20, $30 from this. We've got others that'll see hundreds. It really kind of depends on the school, what they what they're promoting, and how they see the machine being utilized within their walls.
Do most of the schools that you know, are in that hundreds of dollar range, do they find that the kids are over and over and over again buying the items, or do you have to keep putting new stuff in there, or how does that work?
We rotate stuff on a pretty regular basis. You know, we all today have a pretty short attention span in our society, no matter what it is. And so we have a regular rotation of product, most of which we actually design and develop from the ground up that's made available to the kids so that there's always something fresh and new for them.
That's awesome. And we went into real detail last time talking about how the vending is working in the schools and those kind of things. I really encourage anybody, if they didn't hear the last time Matt was on the show, to tune into that one and really hear just how massively impactful school spirit vending is on the whole the entirety of the school, really. You know, the ability to bring in the funds, but then the things that they can do with those funds, and of course, obviously, the passive nature of it, so that you know, it isn't like a cookie sale where, you know, all the kids have got to go out and that kind of thing. Today, what I'd really like to focus on, Matt, is more to the people, because I know we get a lot of the listeners that are looking for opportunities for things that they could do to make money. So let's talk a little bit more in detail about the mechanics, first of all, of starting your own family business.
You know, I think from the very beginning, Steve, it takes a commitment to running a family business. From the very beginning, we wanted to put something together that we could all be involved in and that we could all grow together, that we could all learn from together. And so we set about doing pretty much everything that we did with that in mind. You know, my oldest is just about 20. You know, he was around starting at around 10 when we started this whole crazy idea. And so he grew up in this. His sisters, who are 1 and 3 years younger, you know, were even younger when they got involved, you know, when we got started and when they initially got involved and exposed to what we were doing. So we've all grown up and learned in the process. And so I encourage that of your audience to kind of have that as one of your ends or one of your goals from the very beginning. That way you're thinking about and putting processes in place and making decisions with everybody involved and in mind. You know, we wanted our kids to learn entrepreneurship and learn the basics of business so that if they never want to work for somebody else and want to be self-employed all their life, they've got the tools to do so at least. If they don't choose that path, that's completely up to them and what, you know, God has in store for them. But we wanted to at least give them the foundation to be able to make that choice if they wanted to. Now, I didn't own my first business till I was in my late 20s, and we didn't start SSV till I was 40. So, you know, not only our kids, but the kids of all our franchisees that are involved are getting a huge head start that most of us adults never had.
So when you started, were your kids in public school or were they being homeschooled, or how did that work?
We've always homeschooled our kids. Just a decision that we made long before we even considered or thought about what we're doing with SSV. We wanted to have some flexibility of schedule. We wanted to be able to teach them some things that we thought were most important. And so that was, you know, the choice that we made early on.
So how much does it tie in then, the business, tie in to the day-to-day curriculum that you do or did with the kids?
You know, it's not really curriculum as much as them just learning by osmosis, meaning, you know, we're not teaching a class on entrepreneurship. We're doing entrepreneurship. And whether it be my two oldest kids that have been actively involved as graphic designers, Zane since he was 10, so going on 10 years, Sarah for the last several years, whether it be them helping out run events, whether it be them helping collate stickers or fill machines or assemble machines or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, you know, they're learning by doing and being a part of. And of course, many of our conversations over the dinner table or what have you, revolve around, you know, what we're doing business wise as well.
And without taking a too extreme left turn at Albuquerque here, you know, since four out of six of my kids were homeschooled too, you know, I have a real affinity for it. You know, there's kind of two schools, really, really big lump sums here, two schools of thought. One is kind of the real traditional homeschool, looks a lot like school. And the other one is a very different, you know, almost all of it's hands-on learning and you just kind of integrate. Which method did you guys use? Not that either of them is right or wrong. I'm just saying which, for people who are listening, which way did you guys homeschool?
We probably, I would say, followed closer to the latter. I mean, you know, our schedule varies from day to day. You know, we don't have never really had a classroom per se, whether it be the kids sitting at the kitchen counter and doing their school or at the dining room table or, you know, us being out and about somewhere in a pseudo field trip type scenario, really kind of depended on the day and the time of the year. We're required in Texas to you know, make sure that we're providing reading, writing, arithmetic, good citizenship, you know, that type of thing as part of our curriculum. But otherwise, a lot of that, to be honest, is really up to the individual family. Mm-hmm. At least here, a homeschool is treated like a private school. So because of that, we've got a lot of latitude to do and to teach what we believe is most important. Mm. You know, to give you an idea, my two oldest kids, my son Zane goes to Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, which is a small liberal arts school there. My daughter Sarah is about ready to attend her freshman year at Liberty University out in Lynchburg, Virginia. So, you know, they both excelled in their education and had an opportunity to do a lot of other things along the way because they weren't, you know, locked into a classroom environment, you know, day after day.
Is your youngest one still, I was trying to do the math real quick in my head. Is your youngest child still just finishing up school?
Yeah, she's got a couple more years yet.
Okay. Because one of our guests on the show, somebody that I like to consider a really good friend now, Crystal Victoria, has an amazing new thing for college where what they're actually doing is taking the grant money and the different financial aid things you can do for school and actually basically creating a business with the kids right there. And that's actually their college that they're doing. And that's a fun one. So I encourage you sometime to check that one out, because it's really a neat way of looking at school. But I do encourage people, especially homeschoolers, having a family business may be one of the easiest ways to really truly educate your kids, because whether it be the simple things, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic kind of stuff, all of that comes up in our daily business. You know, you got to write blog posts or Facebook articles or things like that, and it doesn't take a whole lot as a parent to make them have good spelling and grammar and punctuation and those kind of things. And just as an example, so that can really become the platform, if you will, for your homeschooling. And like you said, I don't want to pull the whole entire show that way, but you know, I'm a big fan of that too.
We're going to dig a little deeper into how possible this could be for your family, a home business that could be not only fun, but possibly educational. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I'm here with Matt Miller. We are talking about successfully having a home-based and family-based business.
So we're a family. We decide we would like to have an additional income family business, and we get a hold of School Spirit Vending. How would that process look for us?
Well, to start with, we've got a pretty extensive interview process. Typically takes 6 to 8 weeks, because it's a big decision that people make to own a franchise, and we want to make sure that the folks that we're talking with have every last question and every last detail covered, so that, you know, there's no surprises. The government also has a lot of stipulations as far as how that process has to work and what documentation is required. The main thing is what's called a franchise disclosure document, which outlines all the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything that you wanted to know and didn't want to know about a franchise, and ours is no different in that regard. We normally take about 6 video interviews to go through that process to make sure that due diligence is done on both sides. And in the event that things make sense at the end of that 6 to 8 weeks, then, you know, we execute the franchise agreement and some other paperwork, and we're off to the races. The cost for getting started, to give you an idea, I read the other day the average franchise today, Steve, costs in the U.S. about $125,000. For SSV, it's anywhere between $17,000 and $23,000 currently. There's a variance there because some people want to have, you know, a couple of territories to begin with and a bigger footprint geographically to work with. Others would prefer just to start out with a smaller area in which to focus. So we give some flexibility there.
So with 65 distributors, I'm assuming that means that you have quite a bit of the U.S. that still is left available if a person wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah. We've got, there's only a couple of states that we no longer have territory available. But otherwise, in most states around the country, we have territory. Now, within a couple of years, I anticipate we'll be pretty close to being full up. But at least right now, we've got some territory available with a lot of people in the pipeline excited about what we're doing.
Mm. So when you're going through the process, what are some of the always or most common questions that you get from people?
You know, people want to know what kind of money they can expect to make. They want to know what a typical week or month is like. They want to know, of course, what, you know, kind of the basics as far as cost and profitability and margins and all that type of stuff. And they want to know more specifics about the stickers themselves and where they come from and how they're produced. You know, a lot of those are the basics. The beauty is that in the process of doing their due diligence near the end of that process, they have an opportunity after having multiple conversations with myself and our team, they also have the ability to reach out to any of the franchisees on the team and pick their brains and really get a real world, you know, kind of behind the scenes look at what folks have seen in their experience, what the day to day is like, you know, and that type of thing. So it gives them an opportunity not just to hear from us corporately, but to also hear from our team. And they've got the ability to literally call any of them. So, you know, it's completely unfiltered, you know, feedback that they get with the ability to ask any pretty much any questions that they've got. To make sure that what they've thought things were like based on the earlier conversations are in alignment with what they're hoping to accomplish and what they see, you know, as possibly being able to get out of a business like ours.
So in talking about starting a home-based family business, you know, we've obviously, both you and I are very much into it and very big proponents of it. But what? Let's be honest with people. What are the downsides to it?
I mean, the biggest thing is this, Steve. It takes work. And, you know, in our society today, there's a lot of people that, you know, because of the whole microwave mindset, are looking for something for nothing. They're looking for get rich quick. Neither of those exist, and anybody who says that they do is lying to you. You know, Malcolm Gladwell in his book Outliers talks about 10,000 hours to be great at anything. Now, you don't need to be great at vending and spend 10,000 hours to be wildly successful in what we do. My point is that, you know, anything worth anything takes work. This is no exception. The difference being that once you create it, the locations continue to produce month after month after month in a more passive way versus, you know, many other forms of traditional business that require, you know, face-to-face transactions being made over and over and over again to grow and to flourish. So it can be done on a part-time or limited-time basis outside of a full-time career, which is what I did and what most on our team have done along the way, so that they don't have to choose between business or a career. They can do both. And about a third of our team, this is all they do today because they've built it to that point. About a third, you know, they do this to supplement what they do, and they'll plan on continuing to do things that way. And then about a third are in the process of growing to reach, you know, kind of either one of those targets or goals that they and their family have.
I think that's really good success. I really encourage people In fact, I had an accountant of mine a long time ago said that regardless of what your passion is, what career you go after, you should really consider having some type of a small business that you also run. There are not as much as there used to be, but there are still some tax benefits for that. But it's also just really good mechanics, you know, to really make you a better employee, even from the standpoint of then you begin to get the understanding of what the owners of the company that you work for are looking at, as opposed to just the particular, you know, assignment or assignments that you have on a day-to-day basis at work. So I really do encourage people for that. Well, Matt, if people do want to become a school spirit vendor, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
You know, a couple ways, Steve. First off, they can just reach out to me at Matt, M-A-T-T, at ssvbusiness.com. Or they can go to, I wrote a short ebook titled Live Your Dreams, the Top 10 Reasons Why You Need to Own a Vending Business. So if they want to talk more about SSV or just learn some insights about vending in general, it was hugely impactful and has been for me and my family, but most people don't ever really consider it as a real business. They can go to ssvbusiness.com/TE for Thriving Entrepreneur. And download that for free, and we can begin a dialogue if they like.
I really encourage you, you know, of course, obviously, Kathy and I are very much into books and authors, but sometimes the best thing you can do, a lot of people always use the excuse, it's like, well, I'm not at the point where I can invest $13,000 or $17,000 or $23,000 or those kind of things. But, you know, the cost of a book, especially a free book, is a good place for you to start to begin to get the information. And I encourage folks, you know, don't look for the reasons why not. Look for the reasons why. So, Matt, if you were going to give somebody one, you know, one tip for starting their own family business, what would be the number one tip you would give them?
I would tell them to get started now, Steve. Too many people are getting ready to get ready to get ready to get ready to get ready. And they utilize what I call knowledge constipation as kind of their fallback instead of getting out in the world and in the battle and getting after it. You know, no matter what kind of business it is, the best way to learn is by doing. And I've found that in most cases, there aren't a whole lot of risks in business. And those that you do take, you know, can be calculated and have very little long-term impact if someone is just smart about what they're doing. You know, I thought the business was going to go one way, and then about 3 or 4 months into it, we realized that our market was really in a completely different place. Well, the only way we figured that out was to get in the game. And we pivoted, and things have never been the same since then because of that pivot. But we never would have learned those things if we hadn't gotten out and started to figure out what people really wanted and how what we were offering could be put together and catered to what they were looking for and what they were looking to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. That's such great advice. You know, I mean, the old saying is you can't turn a parked car. If you really think about it, I mean, besides the fact that that's obviously true, if you've ever had to push a car, most of us have had, you know, anybody over probably the age of 15 has been in a situation where they've had to help somebody push a car. It's that first momentum of getting it rolling that's the hard part. And then from there, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. And even if it does mean you need to turn into a parking lot or whatever, you know, once the car's moving, it's a lot easier to do. So, I agree completely with you, Matt. Just jumping in and getting started can make a huge, huge difference in a person's life.
Couldn't agree more, man.
Well, Matt, I appreciate it. It's School Spirit Vending, and the URL is SSV as in Victor, business.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And if you go to ssvbusiness.com/TE, Matt has a free book for you to be able to get and learn more about the vending industry and 10 reasons why you might want to consider it. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time with us today to share some knowledge on how, you know, people in their families can actually have their own home-based business.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me on.
One more quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with one more great guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author, and now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
So we want to talk today about how important you are to your business. You know, a lot of times in business, the things that we do may change, the particular product that we're selling, but you are always the center and focus on your company. And when you really begin to understand how integral and how important you are to your company, you can then begin to really start making the impact you're meant to make in the world. So to help me with that, I'm joined today by Jim Palmer, and he is going to help us discuss with you how to be able to make the biggest impact you were meant to make in the world. Hi, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.
An amazing brand is extremely important. What are some of the fundamentals of really having a strong brand for your business?
A strong brand, Steve, tells people who you are, what you do, and why they want to do business with you. I think those days when you simply had to be good at what you do, they're gone. When your customers are looking for, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is that you do, you want to be known as the best person in that niche. Because again, it's not about the deliverable. The people who make the most amount of money, they have the best reputation as being the go-to expert in that niche.
So often we think that if we get the right colors, the right website, we make enough posts on Facebook, whatever it might be that a person, you know, is trying to do, that then it's going to be like Field of Dreams. You know, everybody's just going to flock to you. But the truth of the matter is that really you have to, you know, have a good reputation. I mean, what, of course, the Holy Grail is everybody wants to be Coca-Cola, you know, so that everybody just says, hey, I want a Coke, whenever they want, you know, any drink to drink, you know.
But one of my clients was in the carpet cleaning business, except a lot of people will go with a name when they start their company that means something to them, right? And there was a company, the biggest problem when he came to me, I said, well, the word carpet's not in there. Cleaning with Pride sounds to me like it might be a residential home cleaner, right? And so it took me a while, but we actually convinced him to rename his business. And and the tagline, so it really resonated with who he was, the area he served, and it spoke about exactly what he does.
And a lot of times that's why, you know, and I even talked about this in the intro, that's why who we are becomes so integral to our brand. Companies like Wells Fargo, JCPenney, different ones like that, those are based off of a person's name or the people that created the company's name. And it becomes very easy to brand around because you can create a great reputation about you and build that and expand worldwide if you want to. I'll give you a perfect example, Jim. You'll love this story. Starbuck is actually a character in the story Moby Dick. And the siren lures Starbuck with her song and then feeds him a coffee. And he's enslaved by the siren. Very, very obscure part of Moby Dick. In fact, I was telling this story one time on a train into downtown Portland where we live. And a school teacher turned around and said, "I've taught Moby Dick in class for 20 years and I couldn't have told you who Starbuck was." And the reason why I bring that up is because Starbucks made their reputation and then made their name mean something rather than thinking that we can come up with some amazingly revolutionary name that is going to become a household word without putting in the marketing. So what is the secret to a person really building a brand that people can trust?
Well, first of all, it's delivering more value than you receive in compensation. You always want to be delivering world-class experience. So it's not enough to simply do what you're going to do. You should always do a little bit more. If they do what they say they're going to do, if you do more than that and people know you stepped up and did more, that's the stuff that gets talked about. Merely by delivering more value than you receive in compensation, you are creating raving fans or ambassadors who are going to be out there talking about you, and that's going to be a tremendous way to grow your revenue. What you want to do is create an amazing brand so people are always talking about you. People talk about that. Oh yeah, so and so cuts my hair, you know, he's well known. It's kind of like those celebrity chefs you see on TV. It really is about having people seek you out and want to do business with you and not necessarily just get what it is that you provide.
So if we were going to give a person some specific strategies to how they could really be memorable for their customers, what would be the things you would tell them?
When people go to the internet, they don't necessarily go there to buy. They go there to seek out information. And so to the degree that you can put out great information, that's why it's a good idea to work with a marketing person or a coach.
I'm sure that people have gleaned a little bit of information from you from the different things we've been talking about. Give the folks an idea of how they could engage with you in more detail if they wanted to get more information from you about how to really build a strong brand for themselves.
They can go to www.getjimpalmer.com, getjimpalmer.com.
Well, Jim, I really appreciate you taking the time today to pour in just a little bit. I mean, there's so much more that in the world of marketing and building a business that we could talk about. But I appreciate you taking the time to really help people understand that just having a brand isn't enough, that you really, truly do need to be focused on what you're doing.
It's my pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Jim Palmer. You can contact him at getjimpalmer.com.
All right. So what did we learn today? I mean, as always, it always seems to start with your mindset, doesn't it? You have to believe in yourself first. And Almitra's book does such a great job. It is a bestseller, and it's a bestseller for a reason, because it really helps us know that no matter how dark it might be right now, all things are becoming so much better and so good. And I really appreciate that. And then, of course, Matt shared with us how we can effectively run a business that not only we can do from home, but that we can actually do together as a family. I think what SSV does is amazing. And for those of you that are looking for a franchise opportunity, or you just like to find a way to really support your local school or the schools in your neighborhood, it's a great, great methodology to do that. And some really good, like you said, useful information on how to really effectively work from a home-based business. And then Jim and I just got done talking about how to build your brand, some little inside secrets in what's really important when you're naming your company and thinking about branding yourself as a corporation. I hope those things helped you both personally as well as in your business, whether you're brand new and you're finally going to take that leap and start your own business, or you've been in business for a long time. Some of these fundamentals are really the key cores that really get us to the place where we can be successful, not just every once in a while, but every day every day of our lives. We're so grateful to be able, Kathy and I, to bring to you best-selling authors and to bring out of you that story that's in you. Shout out to my beautiful, wonderful wife, Kathy. I love her so much. And I'm so glad that we get to work together at bestsellersguild.com, which is our free Facebook group that you can join. You know, statistically, 81% of the people in the world say that they want to write a story, that they want to write a book. And so more than likely, if you're alive listening to the show, you have a story in you that you're just screaming to want to tell. And it's time to get that out, and we can help you do that. Bestsellersguild.com is a free Facebook group. It's a great place for you to get started and to really understand what's going on in there. Because deep inside of you, the thing that you do with grace, with ease, you don't even think about it. In fact, you probably discount it when you do it. I can guarantee you that there is somebody out there right now that is struggling with that and looking for the answer, how to do what you do every day normally. You know, think about it from the standpoint of, you know, I've been honest many times about the struggles I've had with my weight. And yet there are people that are out there that are athletic, that are thin, all those kind of things. And they just do it naturally. You know, they don't really work at it. It's just something that is intricately a part of their life. And the things that you're good at are just like that. It may be health and fitness. It may be being a great mom. It could be any one of a whole lot of different things, but that thing that you do, that the true you shines out in, the world needs to see that. It really does, because you are here for a purpose, and you need to live every moment of your life absolutely living out that purpose, so that at the end of your life, you don't look back and have any regrets, any "I wish I would have done more of." Leave it all on the table here every single day as you go through life. And we'd be glad, we'd be delighted to help you bring that story out to the world and help others that are searching, that are seeking, really find the answers for the things that you've come through and you're now on the other side of. Feel free to check us out at bestsellersguild.com. We'd love to have you there. You know, I want to take this minute or two here right at the end to make sure that you know how much I appreciate you and how uniquely, wonderfully special you are. Don't ever let anybody steal that from you or discount that in you, because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur so that you can share with grace and ease the things that you were put on this planet to enrich the lives of everybody else on this planet. It's our joy and our honor to help present you to the world. So thank you for listening, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you how you can be a bestseller. Again, feel free to check us out at bestsellersguild.com anytime. Until then, we look forward to talking to you again next time. Check out any of our past episodes. And in the meantime, we hope that you will live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.